Hello. Welcome to Live Tonight with Stuart Townsley.
Stuart Townsley.
Tonight we're going to review WWE 2K18. It might be a pretty good game. Just maybe a little bit.
I don't know about that.
How are you doing tonight, Ruff?
I'm good.
Y'all know my co-host, Ruff Lee.
My name is Ruff Lee, and I am the advocate for women's wrestling at Kayfabe Gimmicks, and we are here at Kayfabe Gimmicks!
He's kind of a little bitch.
How about your real name, dude?
I don't know what you're talking about. This is going to be a Stuart Townsley podcast.
I don't think so.
No? I don't really feel like you have a choice.
No, I'll probably opt out if you take that direction.
You're like, really? Like, not even, like, why? Why? It's a great fucking setup, man. It's a great setup.
There's
a Stuart Townsley video coming out, even.
Dude, theoretically. And, like, is he the face that you want for 2K18? Maybe he is the face we want for 2K18.
I thought he was. Honestly, it kind of is a weak-minded thing that has strong moral values, maybe, at the end of the day. So it's gameplay. So sure, it's exactly Stuart Townsley. It's a weak-ass fucking game with some strong-ass gameplay. I don't know, man. I don't really feel like I love this game as much as I should love this game. I feel like WWE 2K18 is kind of a letdown.
You know, it's a pretty big letdown considering how much hype they give it. If you're going to pay for Snoop Dogg to promo it, you ought to at least deliver on something that isn't going to embarrass his name.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta remember, I'm not playing through the game in a vanilla manner by having the deluxe edition. I don't have to spend VC on anything besides my character and how I want to build my character or characters. But in the sheer fact that we're talking about literally a game that if you as a average consumer just went and bought this off the shelf today, you're not going to be able to unlock everybody immediately. That means you have no money to do shit.
That's terrible.
You gotta unlock some 80 plus characters at 3,000 or more each. You only get 30,000 to start with. That doesn't count arenas.
You have to unlock 80 characters when you start with how many on the roster before unlock?
You only start with the modern characters unlocked.
That's ridiculous.
So you actually don't even get The Rock or Shawn Michaels. You have to pay to unlock those.
You have to pay to get your legends.
Yeah. Or grind your way through to get your legends.
Either way, that sounds pretty damn ridiculous.
It's kind of stupid. It's kind of weird. It doesn't really feel... You know, old games used to have a progression system of like, oh, I unlocked this legend by doing this thing in Road to WrestleMania or whatever.
Right.
And nowadays, it's like, grind your way out or just go ahead, fuck it, I bought the season pass, I got the accelerator, I'm just going to press square. Because it doesn't actually help me unlock anything in my career mode, which still uses loot boxes, which cost VC also. Where you get randomly generated information.
And you told me earlier this week, the loot boxes are completely, like, random. You have no idea of what you're getting or whether it's going to be of any value to you personally.
Well, actually, it's even better than that. I've opened a loot box by now. It's very amusing. When you open a loot box in WWE 2K18... you do not actually get to see an image of what you unlocked. It just tells you you unlocked hat number 27, shirt number 13, pants number 43. It does not show you what that image looks like. You have to then go find what you unlocked.
This is insanely lame.
Which involves a loading screen, or three. Which means time wasted watching and going and seeing just to see what happens. And, like, it's kind of a giant pain in the ass.
Sounds like a lot more than kinda a pain in the ass.
So far, from what I've played, I can say the gameplay is top-notch. I love the return of Ultimate Control moves from 2007.
That's nice.
Our biggest feature is actually something that used to be in the game.
See, 2006 through 2010, that was when I played, and I loved it for the most part.
Seven was the best.
Which one?
Seven was the best. Seven
was really, really, really good.
10 was okay just because they had the ground and pound blood system.
11 was awful.
They took that out too by
11
now.
Was when it was...
11 is... 11 is amazing if you play 11 on PS3.
Okay.
PS3 had amazing weapon physics, dude. You could literally throw chairs and stuff at people. It was crazy.
Yeah, I was still on...
And they took all that out, too.
I was still on all that old generation. I actually had 11 into... I had 10 and 11 on both the Wii and the PS2.
Well, those were both the weaker versions of those games. I can honestly tell you, though, 11 had this fun functionality that's gone now. If you were on the ladder and I knocked the ladder over, you would actually hit your nuts on the ropes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not every time, but you could hit your nuts on the ropes. You could fall out of the ring. It was amazing.
That's the stuff that really wins.
And it's not even in the game anymore. I don't even think it's possible to fall out of the ring from a ladder anymore.
There's no point in that.
I mean, it's a crazy spot too, dude. It's a crazy spot. It's well worth it. It's a fun spot to see while you're playing this game. Roster-wise, I will say it is a very fun and enjoyable game. It is. It is. And, that's my 2K review. I think. Maybe not. Anyways, cue the theme song, because this is Kayfabe Gimmicks, bitches. And I'm Snoova.
Alright, ready?
Kayfabe Gimmicks! You know where to find us on Facebook! We're on YouTube!
Perfection Entertainment, brother!
YouTube!
Perfection Entertainment, brother!
YouTube!
Fucking number one Kayfabe Gimmicks podcast ever, so.
How are you looking for?
Put words in the wrong place.
Are you recording all this, dude? The best wrestling podcast has always been.
What you gonna do, brother, when the beast starts talking about wrestling and drinking whiskey and it's all crazy up in here?
And we're back. So go ahead, Ruff. What kind of questions do you got about 2K18 as somebody who may be interested in playing it?
You know, first off, like, I have to be able to create stables, but you can't mix tag, can you, in it?
Well, you can create stables with females in them. Of course you can. Are there mixed tag matches? I don't believe so. They've been gone for a very long time.
Well, we did max tag for a minute where if your partner tagged in, then the other team didn't have a choice, but they had to run things. They had strict gender rules, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I don't even think mixed tag's in the game. It's been out for a hot minute. What else are you looking for?
So, well, create is always what makes it for me. There's still no create a finisher?
No. No, create a finisher's been gone for a long time. Create a title belt is back.
Good. Well, wasn't that there last year?
It might have been there last year, but the point is it was gone at one point.
It was gone. And you said that it doesn't cost you any points in order to... You don't have to spend anything to do all of the rings.
What do you mean? Oh, to build a ring? No. No, not to build a ring. Build it. Create an arena is still around, and it does not require VC.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah, I mean, that part's okay.
Are they doing, like, Road to WrestleMania at all, or is that gone with 2K?
All of that's gone. You only have my career mode now.
Only my career.
My career mode and universe.
And what's the difference between the two?
Universe allows you to run as many shows as you want, set up pay-per-views for them, set up specific rosters for pay-per-views. It's fun. It's interesting. There's cutscenes that will happen. It will build its own storylines. It already has a blue screen of death going on, though. For certain people, like one of our members, J2, he can't even play universe mode right now. My career is more story-based, off of one character, allowing you to just do that one character and take them wherever you want to take them. And it will allow you to do what you will. And in that sense, it works. However, this year, my career actually has a issue. This is the first year ever where my career makes you, as the player, have to win matches. There are certain matches you just can't lose, whereas 17's career mode was very unforgiving. If you lost, fuck you, you're screwed. You better win a match. You don't really have a choice here one way or another. So it's kind of weird. It's not necessarily the most aesthetical of choices. I've seen some complaints. At one point, you have to perform a ladder finisher, which requires you spending your VC to make sure you have the ladder finisher ability. So, it's a strange year.
Growing pains, maybe, for the franchise. Or maybe they just stop caring.
I feel like the franchise has been stale for a while. And it's not really a 2K thing so much as just it's been stale. And nothing's really changed. They haven't really rehauled the entire thing since that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a little weird, a little strange. And we actually got a commercial, and then we're going to be back.
Are you tired of the same old when it comes to hip-hop music? Do you need something dope to listen to while you're supposed to be working, but really you in the back texting some thought trying to get a booty call? Are you sick of fools mumbling over beats and calling that music? Or maybe you just want to be entertained with actual content? Then tune in to the Raw Me Podcast. Just go to YouTube and search Eviction Records, and you'll find one of the best hip-hop podcasts out there. Please like me. Please like the music I make, please. This is all I have, man. This is all I fucking got. Warning, side effects of listening to the Raw Meat Podcast may include head nodding, toe tapping, getting in your feelings, being thirsty, swag, haters, the urge to burn it all down, a feeling of self-worth. If these symptoms persist, keep listening to the Raw Meat Podcast. Consult with your doctor before listening to the Raw Meat Podcast, as it may cause an overload of dopeness.
And we're back. This is Snoop. As you know, Ruff Lee's here, and I got your boy Gans here as well.
What up?
So, Gans, tell us how you're feeling about 2K18 by now.
After a while of playing it, I like it, but there are a lot of things about it that, I guess, makes it not as great. Because I would say the gameplay is excellent, but, like, the whole my player situation... It's pretty, well, I guess trying to unlock things is a bit grind.
Yeah, it's pretty garbage. I was actually just talking about that before you came on, where if you do buy the loot boxes, which are expensive, how it says things like, oh, hat 23, pants 34, it doesn't actually show you what you got, so you have to go find it, which means loading at screen after loading screen in 2K18.
Yeah.
The loading's pretty bad this year, actually, I gotta say.
Yeah, it is, and,
That is one thing that has not improved.
On top of that, the soundtrack is pretty bad, too.
I just figured it would have improved by now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially if you have to install the game, you would think the loading would be
I don't understand better. Why the loading is bad, considering that when you look side by side, as I've seen on several videos... A lot of the faces on 17 were better.
Okay, that's another issue with this game. I mean, especially when it comes to the women, I don't really feel like they put a lot of effort into scans.
There are... Some of the women are pretty bad this year. There have been improvements. I think...
Natalia 15 bad in some cases. I've seen some moments.
Yeah.
Let me put this into some sort of understanding for both of you. I actually own the digital edition. And with the digital edition, after the whole Amazon wouldn't sell me a physical edition at a discounted price for the deluxe edition, I did go physical or digital. It still takes a good minute to load up a match, just in play mode.
That's a
See, that's not good. I would think if you had it digitally, the load times would be way better.
That's a terrible amount of time because we live in this era where we complain about how long microwave popcorn takes.
That little loading, that one loading screen, I forget where it's at. I think it's my player. When you go in and the WWE, the little red bar underneath the WWE logo has to fill.
Yeah.
I feel like that thing takes 2 or 3 minutes sometimes.
Yeah.
My Daphne will stop paying attention and go do something on my computer while it's loading.
I've done it all the time, really. Yeah, the load times are really bad this year.
Well, and I haven't gotten into online. We're going to get into online a little bit later tonight or tomorrow, probably. I definitely want to play some with you.
I have done the Road to Glory.
Okay, how's that working out for you?
I actually enjoy it. The only bad thing about it is finding a match. I would say it's better in terms of the matches because you don't face people who just cheese you out with crappy moves or whatever because you can't unlock them. So, so I would say that's a big plus. I haven't played normal online mode though.
I mean, that's a perk, I guess. I'm not going to take that as a negative right now. I will say that the gameplay, like I said earlier, I mean, I love the ultimate control moves. How are you feeling about
that? I like them. It just changes up your play style a bit if you use it.
Exactly. And I think they're a perk. I think they're a positive. I like universe mode this year. For me, it's working. Other people, I already stated, J2, it's not working at all. I don't know if you heard about this yet.
No, what's going on with universe mode?
If you try to load up a match, it completely shits out.
That hasn't happened to me.
It completely shits out, and it blue screens. It goes to the blue screen where it's like, oh, report your problem.
Wow, really?
And nothing happens. Yeah, dude. And that's not the only thing. I will say this about this year. I do like my career mode not doing the show entrance every time like 17 did.
Oh, yeah, because you can turn it off. I turned mine off.
But 17, every time you switch between NXT or main event, you had to go through the whole show.
Yeah, man, I actually really like career this year. Where I'm at right now, it's got a lot going on. And
are you on the main roster now?
Yeah, I'm on Raw.
Okay, so you're happy with how it's working out. I mean, that's good. I mean, I want to enjoy the career mode. I do.
Yeah, because I found you finally. You showed up in my game.
Oh, you found me?
Yeah.
And I found you already in my game, we found out.
And it was pretty cool. I wish I had found you earlier so I could make a tag team. But,
Oh, I can do that with your character since he's still hanging around in my NXT?
Yeah, if, depending on how, because they have it where you can go talk to the GM, and you can pretty much pick how you want to do stuff. And, I was talking to Vince, and he was saying, oh, you should be, like, the new DX or NWO or something. And he was like, go out there and find somebody. So you could just walk around, you can find a teammate. I ended up picking Baron Corbin because he was like the strongest person I saw. Which, for me, wasn't a good idea. I'll just say that.
I mean, I understand. I did see Big Black Shadow. I don't know if you remember him. His Damon Geist is hanging around in my universe mode right now, too. So that part's kind of cool, or my career mode. And that's one of those things that they've been doing since, like, 2015 of them showing up. And I love the fact that Baron Blade is the producer.
Yeah, that's great. I like that he's just producing on NXT. But he's not there.
I laughed my ass off when I saw that because I was tired of fighting him.
He's not the producer if you're going wrong.
Oh, he's not on
Raw?
Nah,
NXT. I think it's just NXT.
I mean, it was cool. It was a cool little shout out to their older games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. But I do think they've improved like tenfold on career this year because it's a lot you can do with it. And
I feel like having been out of the game for a few years, I mean, I played 17, but I only really played 17 in the last like 2 months.
17 and career mode was awful. So you're.
I only played it in a short burst, so I can't say too much about 17. But as a man who hasn't bought the series since 2015, I feel like it's a impressive year to be back in some ways or not. You know what I mean? It's fun, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I've bought them every year. And I will say, because I don't... 17 and 16... Well, I would say 16 was okay. 17 wasn't good. That was almost... I pretty much bought that game to simulate matches for some reason. I don't know. I was playing Universe a lot.
It was 12 all over again.
But this year, they really improved even with the downside of like load times and a few glitches, which I did. I came across a pretty bad glitch in career mode. Sometimes during pro modes, after the promo, the game just won't continue. It'll just sit on the crowd screaming.
That is pretty terrible. I mean, so are you giving it a yay this year for buying it or a nay?
I would give it a yay because I would say it's enough in the game to keep playing for a while. My universe mode is pretty epic. I've changed a lot of stuff around. I would say universe.
What edition did you buy, I have to ask?
I bought the deluxe edition.
I did too, and I feel like if you didn't buy the deluxe edition, you're shooting yourself in the foot because there's no point in spending time grinding to accelerate to unlock characters.
Once I saw that you had to use your little currency to unlock people too, I was like, no. Because, you know, every year I've never like used Accelerate. I like to unlock stuff. But this year, when I saw that, I was like, nope, Accelerate. So I got all my characters and stuff.
Exactly. In 13 is a perfect example. It had an accelerator, but you could unlock all of those people by playing the Road to WrestleManias or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 13 was great. And wasn't that the one universe mode?
That was the Attitude
Era. Yeah, but in universe mode, it was like you would play a certain amount of weeks and they'll be like, oh, this new person's debuting. You unlock it.
I think so.
Yeah, I like that, like, way better.
And 15 had the 15 was another one where I never used the accelerator because you still had that last Road to WrestleMania in there to unlock people.
Yeah.
So it always worked out. It always worked out. If you wanted to get somebody, it was very possible to get somebody. This year, fuck it, accelerator. I mean, there's no point. It doesn't affect my career. You still have to spend VC. I don't see the point in doing anything else.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that.
But as we go into the second half of this podcast, we got Ruff Lee, who I definitely wanted to discuss something tonight. Ruff, what did you want to talk about?
All right. Here we are heading into... we've got the Raw pay-per-view on Sunday. No big deal. What is noticeable, of course, we... put up the picture. Who's not wrestling on Sunday?
Goddamn Brock Lesnar.
Yep. And tonight, lo and behold, they gave the announcement that Brock's going to show up at Raw on Monday to address something that the SmackDown champion shouted out at Lesnar. So obviously, we are going into Survivor Series for yet another champion versus champion that doesn't mean jack shit kind of match for Survivor Series. So I want to discuss this whole thing about, I guess the simplest way to put it is that every time Paul Heyman shows up, he says reigning, defending, and that's the problem word because he's not defending if we're going two pay-per-views in a row where he's not defending the belt.
Came out and said this, actually. You know, say what you will about Jinder Mahal, but at least he's there every week.
Exactly. So champions that will not fucking put the belt on the line, and they'll go multiple months without doing anything with it. Rock's last run was like that.
Luckily, it only lasted 2 months.
Right, but the point is, if you are...
And actually, he had a title defense. He had a random title defense, too.
Someone got fed to him or what?
Didn't he? He fought Punk, and then he fought a rematch against Punk for the belt.
Yeah.
And then he fought Cena.
Okay. But it's...
I actually liked how they
did a big problem with champions who don't defend. I mean, this comes to mind, especially because that video came up of Triple H congratulating Triple H and Triple H. Because... It's a beautiful thing. Dude. We've got it shared on our wall, kayfabe gimmicks on Facebook. But I've got a real problem with champions who are not defending champions. People can yell about Goldberg's streak and how, you know, there so many people got fed to him, but he was a defending champion.
No, I mean, I see where you're coming from with it. I definitely do. It's like I said, I mean, Jinder's run has been very eh. And as much as I really want to see Jinder get into this program with AJ to see where it's going to go, I feel like they're really going to sidestep it and postpone it till after Survivor Series because they really are trying to save Lesnar still.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been...
Absolutely.
I'm on the same page with Ruff, too. Like, I want a champion that's there. That's why I enjoy The Miz so much. Like, I really think he should just be champion. But, it's just, you know, when your main belt isn't even there on, like, a weekly basis, it's just really weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things.
Cena's open challenge was really good for the U.S. title. I really liked that. I mean, just in general, it's like if you are walking around preaching that you are the best in the company because you've allegedly earned the strap, then you don't get to slack off. If you're the one holding the belt, then you're supposed to be the draw. And if you're the draw, then you better be out there doing the work that it takes to be the quote unquote big dog in the yard.
And you know, that's one of those things that, I mean, it's one of those weird things here because somebody brought up to me, Rob Rhodes, our current defending kayfabe champion, that he would have liked to have seen the Shield match versus the other five men match, everything on the line. So if The Miz and Sheamus and Cesaro win, Sheamus and Cesaro get the tag belts back. And if the Shield wins, they get the Intercontinental Championship on Reigns? It would have been kind of interesting.
That's a really good angle. I like that.
You gotta figure, like, this at this rate, the only belt getting defended at TLC is actually going to be Mickey James and Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
There's three women's matches out of the 7-match card. The other women's match is Alicia Fox versus Sasha Banks.
Which we've already seen. We saw it this week.
Shout out to Alicia Fox for finally getting her first piece of WWE merchandise.
She finally got something?
She got a shirt.
Only took 10 years.
It took 10 years. Alicia Fox has a shirt that says Crazy Like a Fox.
And it's been 10 years. I mean, she was a former champion.
Yeah.
It's a cute shirt. I mean, I don't got anything against it. Feels like one of those what the hell matches.
Why didn't she have a shirt while she was champ?
I don't have an answer for this. It's kind of a weird thing. And then the other match, and I mean, I'll start with you, Gantz. Emma versus Asuka. Is Emma a draw? for this.
Emma is not a draw for this match. Everyone wants to see Asuka. It's really weird that it is Emma versus Asuka. It's just, it seems like it's going to be a job match, to be honest. I don't know why they chose Emma.
I brought it up last week on our podcast, and it's worth checking out. But I firmly believe that this is their way of either restarting the streak or continuing the streak by refeeding Emma to Asuka.
I say she's main roster now. The streak starts fresh.
Yeah, I think
it should. They better start it fresh. If they literally try to act like she's still 400 whatever days undefeated,
yeah.
I'm gonna be kind of shaking my head.
Yeah, I think it would be weird to not start it fresh. I think everybody, well, I would hope people would think like, you know, this is a restart for her. But I mean, you know, it's Asuka. We know what she's gonna do.
I actually had a member try to act like her injury wasn't real.
I thought it was real.
It was real. It was real. I don't know. Are they moving her up to the main roster because she's injured, so they might as well end the streak? Now that she's
I felt like her getting injured was a way for them to send her up. Because I think they didn't know how they were going to do it. And her
big I don't think they had anybody good enough to kill the streak, and they didn't want to kill the streak off of some bullshit for once in their lives.
Yeah, and her being injured, they were just like, oh, this is our chance to
no
take
her
so
stick.
I guess that was a good win for them.
I think
them,
it worked out in their favor in a lot of ways. It did. In other news, I will be formally announcing this right here, right now, I guess. I kind of want to bring back the league. I definitely want to do this. We need to be figuring this out in the next couple weeks and booking this. But the Kayfabe Championship is going to be on the line. And we're actually going to be wrestling it out in WWE 2K18, I think.
Man, I would love to, you know, bring back the league. It was really fun when we had everybody and doing our matches. We would need a lot of participation.
And I think we got the participation. There's a good portion of us who are playing again this year, and I want to take the time and I want to go at it. But I mean, in the coming weeks, let's really look into this and plan this out. Gant, since you're on the show this week, is there anything you wanted to talk about with what's been going on lately in wrestling?
I'm really enjoying the Usos. I know me and you were like, we were talking about it, and you really, really want a New Day to still be champs, but I'm really enjoying the Usos, Ryan, right now.
Oh, look, dude, New Day is my thing. I actually just got a New Day hoodie. I absolutely love the team. They're just perfect.
I love them, too. I think they're great.
I love the penitentiary as well, don't get me wrong. I mean, something about the Usos, I mean, you know, it's funny. They came out on Talking Smack after they won the titles back. They're like, oh, people were sleep on us. They woke now, they sleeping on us, though. They didn't think anything about us. But it's like, realistically, if you go back and look at the Usos' earlier work, it wasn't this good.
No, it wasn't. It was... That's why I think this is the best run they've ever had, and like when they were faces and everything, you know, they were just kind of they were kind of boring, and they never really talked much. But now that now that they're heels and they're talking more, and everything they're doing now is just great. And then I would say the past two SmackDown. Pay-per-views, they stole the show with their matches. I mean, they had the
no
best
question plan. About that.
I definitely agree with you there. I'm a firm believer, right? And it wasn't even like, oh, like, the Usos suck.
It was never that. Their in-ring talent was fine. But look at their first turn. When they first turned heel, like, it wasn't as interesting as the Uso Penitentiary stuff was.
Right.
And it wasn't as fun, it wasn't as amusing or as interesting as the Paranoia. It just, it wasn't there. And they finally have gotten down being heels, I think.
Yeah,
it really doesn't matter if they're face or heel at this point, because I think they just finally found their stride. The way they play off of each other is so strong right now.
Go ahead, Gans.
Well, I was just agreeing with Ruff. He said the way they play off each other is strong, and I agree with that. Like, when they're doing their promos and just bouncing off of each other, it's just really great. And
it hit this weird thing in the last 2 weeks since they won the titles back, where I'm not even sure they're heels anymore. And they're really kind of tweening it out. Like, they're not really the bad guys anymore, but they're the guys, and they're just amusing as hell.
Which is probably the best place they can be.
They got that shit on lock.
That's a beautiful place to be, honestly.
I completely concur.
Which I would think that puts fans in a weird place when you're watching the Usos versus New Day, because you love both of them. So it's like, who do you want to win the tag belts after that?
I'm okay with them trading it back and forth. I'm okay with a lot of things, realistically, when it comes to how wrestling works, even when I like both parties involved. I'm not going to be that guy who's freaking out one way or another. I mean, I have my favorites and I have my dislikes, sure. But when it comes to two people I like fighting and trading a back belt and forth, I'm more open, you know what I mean?
That being said, props to Creative for being smart enough to mix it up. Because I don't want to see another endless feud like Cena versus Orton.
Exactly. I don't want to see an endless feud with them, but I really do like watching both teams and how they interact with each other. So if it lasts for another 6 months and then goes into one of them getting drafted at WrestleMania after WrestleMania, I'm okay with that right now.
Well, I think now the Usos are moving on to Chad and Shelton.
Dude, Chad Gable tonight stood up like a motherfucker.
Yeah, he did great. I was surprised. I enjoyed their little segment. But I'm just interested where it's going to go.
His segment was more interesting than anything Jason Jordan has done since he went to Raw.
Okay. What's going on with Jason Jordan? Like, he needs to... I don't know. He needs to find his way fast, or he's gonna.
He's kind of boring.
Yeah, and what was? I mean, did he join Titus Worldwide Monday, or what was that all about? Or did they just put him together?
I think they're just kind of putting him with people, because you know he was hanging out with Matt Hardy there for a while too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they want him to be the guy. Obviously, they really want him to be the guy. But it's just that he hasn't found his place yet. You got to find where your niche is.
Yeah.
And he hasn't found it. But I mean, you wouldn't put him as nearly beating Cena, and then nearly beating Reigns before Cena and Reigns have a fight, unless you're wanting to build his portfolio on the fast track.
I mean, I see where you're coming from. In other news, Ring of Honor just had Global. And Power Struggle is going to be starting on the 21st. We're going to start the Road to Power Struggle for NJPW. So I'm pretty excited about that, I can tell you guys.
I've been kind of behind on Ring of Honor. I did go to a show I want to say last month.
Yeah, you did. You posted a lot of pictures. It was when Glacier showed up.
Yeah, yeah. They were here in Atlanta, and it's when Cody brought out the actual Ring of Honor and was making people kiss it, which was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Dalton Castle's back, actually, as the most recent person to kiss the ring. I'm very excited to see where Ring of Honor goes. I'm obviously very excited with Dalton Castle being back. My biggest issue with Ring of Honor right now is Ring of Honor doesn't have a streaming service like even NJPW does.
Right. If you're really going to be in a race, then you need to be competitive. You know, step up or step off.
When TNA beats you to it, I feel like you have a problem.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I would think they need some type of streaming service because they do have great talent and matches.
In the meanwhile, if you do want to watch some Ring of Honor matches, you can watch them on the NJPW app. It's cost about $10 a month, too. However, any Ring of Honor match that involves Japanese talent apparently, I guess, ends up on there, or Japanese titles. So that part's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Because they definitely have the Kushida matches, where Kushida went against Skrull and Dalton Castle and Tamahashi. Oh, God. Takahashi. And I
speaking about other too. Speaking about other news.
Yeah.
A familiar story that, like, if it was, you could throw anyone's name into this, Nuva, and it's something that you've said on previous episodes, but a certain superstar is unhappy with what things are doing creative, allegedly. And so there's talk of them walking out on their contract, and the rumors are flying both ways. They're saying that they're taking a break for personal reasons, but you know, it's that they're not happy with the direction that they're taking. You know who I'm talking about today?
I do.
What's up now? You talking about
Snoof?
I'm guessing you're talking about Neville, but at the same time, are you talking about the brothers, Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas?
No. No.
You know, neither one of them have been at shows either.
It's Nia Jax this time.
Oh?
Yes.
Wait, before you go any further, Gantz, did you know he was talking about Nia Jax?
No, I thought he was talking about Neville.
No, Neville's not happy too, but Nia Jax allegedly is, like, taking a walk too.
Really?
Interesting.
Like, we're seeing this huge trend all the way, ever since Austin Aries.
It's a weird place right now with wrestling. I mean, I can only hope that these guys figure out what they want.
Yeah, I really hope they get what makes them happy.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. Is Neville really just upset because of that last shirt and Enzo Amore, or like what? Was that last shirt what, like, upset him?
I don't know.
It said was Neville King of the Cruiserweights. It's very boring, but, like, I mean, I don't know what he wants either. I don't know what it is Neville wants, because if you ask me, Neville's at as high of a point in the WWE as he was going to get.
That's for sure.
He couldn't hold the belt forever.
Right. There's no way. Like, nobody does. Nobody does. Unless you're Austin.
It had to go sooner or later. So it's kind of just a weird place, right?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. Like, that's the reason why I toss the line out to you that way, because I figured you were going to say Neville. I mean, the same way that we are looking at a whole bunch of other superstars all the way from, like, when you first brought up Austin Aries in last season. But, you know, here we are with this running chain of events where people are not happy with where their storylines are going. You know what? Not everyone is going to be the top dog, and it doesn't always have to be about your ability. That big quote, it's possible to make no mistakes and still not win.
Look, mean, at the end of the day, if Neville's good enough to be your NXT champion, why can't he have a shot at your world heavyweight
champion? Because cruiserweights are not heavyweights.
That's bullshit, though. I mean, look, I'm in the Neville and the Austin Aries corner in that sense. Austin Aries had an amazing world heavyweight title run in TNA.
When Rey Mysterio won the World Heavyweight Championship, they dropped the World Heavy. Because Rey was 175 pounds, and that does not make you a heavyweight. If you're going by classic WCW terms, you had to be under 225 to qualify for the cruiserweight belt. That's how far back I go with it. You had to be under 225, billed as under 225 to qualify to fight for the cruiserweight belt. That was the traditional side of WCW showing its stripes as far as their commitment to old school wrestling when it came to that and trying to make it look semi-legitimate. But over 225 is world heavyweight, which is why I laugh at Finn Balor being world heavyweight.
Look, I mean, NJPW has weight titles in mind and has been running weight classes for years. WWE kind of gave up on weight classes at one point, so I just stopped caring when they stopped caring. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't... They never really put... Like, they never made that a point. So it was just...
It's
like,
implied, but not anybody could seriously be touted. But I'm sure everyone would raise an eyebrow if Big Show came back from his injury and decided to show up on 205 Live and say, I want the cruiserweight belt.
I mean, look at it like this, right? RVD is billed at 235 right now. But when RVD won Money in the Bank and then cashed it in for the World Heavyweight Championship, I didn't have any side eye. I didn't throw any shade at it. I didn't question it. It was just like, oh yeah, this makes perfect sense.
Right.
How the WWE product worked, I mean, it made sense.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a question, you know what I mean?
Well, 238 is still not 225, so...
You're right, but do they really look that different?
Maybe not. Kind of jumps.
I mean, Edge is apparently 241 pounds. I never thought of Edge as weighing 241 pounds.
Well,
either.
John Cena syndrome, though. Edge is 6'6", isn't he?
6'5", yeah. I'm
okay.
Close enough.
You know that he stands taller than Cena. Cena has said casually in different fitness interviews that it doesn't matter whether he decides he's going to really grind hard and work his ass off in the gym or whether he does his normal maintenance. His body wants to be 250 pounds, and it's been 250 pounds since the time that he was 22 years old. Like, no matter what he does, whether he tries to build up more muscle on him, because he said for a while he was trying to bulk up, but he's 250 pounds. So if he's 250 pounds, I believe Edge can weigh more than him.
I mean, look, I guess at the end of the night, or at the end of the day, and how I'm going to end this podcast is when it comes down to wrestling, specifically wrestling, I have never really considered the weight of a wrestler into importance of a storyline of where they're involved in the card. The storyline of how they fight and who they fight tells where they belong on the card to me. Now, there are certain people, like Yokozuna or Big Show, where the weight is something imposing and interesting and something to factoid out to somebody. But in the general, average, everyday usage of me talking about Eddie Guerrero or Chris Benoit or even Dean Malenko
or the Hardys
or Jericho. Exactly. I never once came to anybody and was like, man, you know what? Let me talk to you about how much Jarrett weighs this week. Never thought about it.
I'll give you that.
I never would have told you that RVD was 235 pounds. Never knew that.
Right.
Never once crossed my head, realistically.
I always watch where Triple H winds up getting billed.
But I mean, it's just one of those weird things. Gantz, tell the nice people where to find you.
Well, I'm on Twitter at Bam Corleone, or you can just check me out at Kayfabe Gimmicks on Facebook.
As always, you can find me at Kayfabe Gimmicks on Facebook and on Twitter, because it's the only way I post on Twitter anymore. And Ruff?
Real Ruffly on Twitter. Official Ruffly, if you need to book me, because I'm a musician, full-time, all the time. You can find Official Ruffly if you want to book me at Gmail. You can find me on YouTube. R-U-F-F-L-E-E. Find me on Facebook under Ruff's Friends and Ruff Lee Music. Find me on Instagram under Ruff Lee Music. Where else am I?
Go listen to the new Wu-Tang album, bitches.
Go listen to the new Wu-Tang.
Definitely.
Boom. Mic drop.